Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We have a jam-packed show today on the guest front. Some days I like to have space, and today it'll be fun. Peter King will be with us today, the Monday morning quarterback, SI.com senior NFL writer. So Peter was in Denver last week when he Skyped in with us. This week he's in Carolina. This morning he's there doing his podcast with Luke Kuechly. So he'll Skype with us from the Panthers facility. Peter's got a story about Larry Fitzgerald coming so close to being on the cover I want to hear about. And also, what does he make out of the Cardinals' loss and Jameis Winston and Dirk Cutter coming here? A lot to get to with Peter King. I also want to talk to him about Cam Newton and concussions and the hits last week. Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network. Every Tuesday, we have the NFL Network senior fantasy analyst giving you all the breakdowns of the fantasy football teams. You can shoot your questions to me right now on Twitter, at Brad Sesmat or at Sports360AZ, whichever way you want to go. AJ Green's going to be with us today. I'm looking forward to this. Bengals Pro Bowl wide receiver. And he's one of our partners with Rock and Refuel. Of course, our good people at Shamrock Farms. So Rock and Refuel's A.J. Green will Skype in with us as well from Cincinnati. Look, it's the Bengals and Steelers this week. And the last time the Bengals and Steelers played, I think we all remember that was one of the biggest heavyweight matches in the postseason. Cheap shots, players being thrown out, coaches on the field, mass mayhem. And A.J. Green, Pro Bowl wide receiver, who just lit up the Jets over the weekend. He'll be with us as well. I'll talk to him, too, about Fitz getting to 100 catches, or 100 touchdowns, I should say, and Patrick Peterson as well. So, busy, busy show on that front. Eric and I last night, we took a break, and I guess that it was not anything. If you guys sat through the 49ers and Rams from start to finish, why? I DVR'd it, got through it, and I was going to just shut it off. It was just dreadful football. It just wasn't good. There was a moment in the game last night, though, and the 49ers won 28-0. There was a moment late in the game, though, that did catch our eye. And it's not often that I make a big deal out of it. And as broadcasters, we typically aren't supposed to pay attention to fans running on the field, because that's what they want, is they want you to pay attention to them. But this moment happened last night with the 49ers and Rams late. And Kevin Harlan, our buddy, who's been on this show many, 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 many times, who does the play-by-play for Westwood One, captured this moment last night.
Third and four, looks into the nickel of San Francisco in the secondary. Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
coming
the blue
from the left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
That was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.
I tell you what, that was a great call on your part. That was a great call. All right, I'm ready for the last 11:31 now, Kevin. Let's go.
Look at the police. They've surrounded this man like he is... like he's just robbed a bank.
I tell you what, he got a whole lap in
he
before
did,
they
yes.
got him. I mean, that was pretty good. I expected him to go down much sooner.
Yeah. But I hope it was worth it, my friend, because you've got it.
So there was an angle, too. Somebody on their camera phone got the angle of the guy running on the field and stayed with the guy running on the field and matched it up with Kevin Harlan's call. So you actually see the guy. I saw that one buzzing around earlier today, too. So
one of my favorite parts of that little snippet is the look on Jeff Fisher's face. He's down 21-0.
Yep.
His team is getting drilled.
Work.
Not even like a tiny little smidge of a smile. Just that annoying
Jeff Fisher look.
What else could possibly happen in this game?
You know, that guy was lucky he didn't run by Jeff Fisher, because Jeff Fisher probably just decked him.
Oh, yeah. Like former safety, right? At USC back in the day?
I'm getting my ass kicked right now,
yep.
And you're running around on the field.
Yeah, we have like dropped. We have like 47 total yards in like 2.5 quarters. So
that was the best run of the night.
It was.
I mean, if you look at the way that game went, I know if you guys had Carlos Hyde on your team, you're excited and ecstatic, but God, that was just dreadful football.
Well, we didn't see any of that because what do? To get away from each other? We hang out by,
we hung
with
out
one
together
another.
Last
yeah, let's
night.
Go see a movie because I don't see you enough.
We saw Snowden last night.
Makes so, you think kind of movie, right?
Oh, my gosh. So I got this little camera right here on my laptop. So Snowden comes out Friday. We'll have Goody at the movies on Thursday. Guys, you got to see it. It's one of those deals where I don't know. Would your wife have been into that last night? My wife said
so.
She would have.
Yeah, I think so. I think she wants to go see it, so I may be seeing it again.
Yeah, and I'd see it again.
I would too, because you'll probably pick up things the second time you see it that you didn't catch the first time. But it really is it.
Now, it's not the Oliver Stone stuff where he kind of goes.
Nah, but it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
You jump from one side of the street to the other. I don't want to give away the whole movie, but.
So we hung out last night, and I was teaching yesterday afternoon while the Steelers and Redskins were going on. I thought about dismissing the class over to ASU. But, you know, we hammered away on the Cardinals last night or yesterday on the show. And here's the thing on this show. If you want me every day, and I can't speak for Eric, but for me, I'm not going to come out here every day and state obvious and bang you over the head with a sledgehammer. It was a bad loss. It is a loss in September. I really don't look at NFL games much in September and October, except when you are not playing against Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski and you've got backups out there and you end up getting beat, just flat beat. Then, yeah, I'm going to be cranky. I'm going to be grumpy and I'm going to bring angry. And I'm going to bring the sledgehammer and they deserve it. So the Cardinals have not been 0-2 since 2005. Jameis Winston comes here this week with Dirk Koetter. I don't know what it is about Dirk in Arizona, but I saw Dirk at the combine, pulled him aside for a few minutes back in February, and he immediately went down the path of, and this is before he knew that Tampa Bay was playing out here, but he immediately went down the path of some stuff that happened out here at Arizona. And like, come on, man, really? Just move on. I liked Dirk. I was one of the few guys that actually liked him, and we got into it. We got into it a lot, but I'm not one of those guys that drags it in on the air with me. You get into it, you get into it. You go meet for a beer, you go meet in an office, you go somewhere, you yell, you scream, you work it out, and you move on. If you want to be in this business and hide behind microphones, plenty of guys that do that. If you want to be in this business and not get your feelings hurt, then get out of the business. I mean, we're pretty fortunate. We got a nice place to park. We get some food given to us. We sit in a nice air-conditioned press box while guys like you are out there really working. I don't get it sometimes how people hold a grudge against. And in Dirk's case, he just didn't know how to deal with the media. He just didn't. And now I think he's better for it. But he clearly has a chip on his shoulder. Jameis Winston was running the no huddle. How will the Cardinals react to the no huddle? Jameis Winston threw 4 touchdowns. You know, the Cardinals secondary, on one side, you have Patrick Peterson, who was really good. But on the other, you know, you can say Brandon Williams played well late, but the game was lost early. It's fine to point out. There were positives. The L is still in the shape of the L, okay? But they've not been 0-2 since 2005, even with all those crappy quarterbacks that they had after Kurt Warner left. So that caught my eye. There's a ton of college football I want to try to get to on today's show, later in the show, and I may have to save it till tomorrow. ASU is playing a team that's initials, so whenever you play UTSA, you're thinking this should be a win, and I think it will be. There's some stuff going on there. U of A has Hawaii this week, and there's a recruiting pipeline there I want to get into. I'm actually looking forward to the Oregon-Nebraska game and the USC-Stanford game. And Mike Leach, because we love Mike Leach lost his mind. And when Mike Leach starts losing his mind, it's always fun. So there's that going on as well. Ryan Lochte is back in the news cycle because last night he was rushed by protesters at Dancing with the Stars. Of course he was. Was this staged? I don't know. But for sports guys like us, this morning on my Twitter feed, it was full of Ryan Lochte and his quote, "It broke my heart. The people are still on that subject and no one's moving forward." Just shut up. you got it so good. You got off. You got a PR person that pushed you over on Dancing with the Stars, and now you have people here that are still mad at you. Deal with it. I wish people could move on. Just get out of here. It's annoying. And Shelby Miller was good early and then just dreadful late last night. 6 runs, 9 hits. I don't think I want to see Shelby Miller here anymore. The Diamondbacks beat Colorado 12-9. Tomas is leading the team with home runs. He had a grand slam last night. Some of the brief stuff right off the top of my head on the, what's going on in the world of sports. Peter King is standing by via Skype, so we're going to take a break. Peter King is with us next, SI.com, senior NFL writer. The Monday morning quarterback. How close did Larry Fitzgerald come to making the cover of Sports Illustrated on Sunday night? The Cardinals loss and look ahead to Tampa Bay and concussions in Cam Newton. That's all straight ahead with Peter King. Coming up later in the show, A.J. Green, Pro Bowl wide receiver of the Cincinnati Bengals, will be with us. We'll talk about the Steelers matchup with the Bengals and much more. But now, as promised, we go to Carolina. Peter King Skyping on in, the MMQB. Peter getting his frequent flyer miles. He was in Denver last week. Then he comes here to Arizona. And now he's in Carolina for his podcast with Luke Kuechly. And that sounds very impressive on its own right. But Mr. King, the cover of Sports Illustrated for the MMQB this week. As your labor of love, would you have ever imagined this was happening?
Well, that was, I mean, last summer, like 3 months ago, Chris Stone, who runs the franchise, came to me and said, I want your team to put out an issue with a magazine. And the response from my team was a little bit less than, hey, yeah, that's exciting, because we have 11 people who run a website and we all try to have some form of lives. And so it was a big responsibility to put out, I don't know, I think 52 editorial pages as well as running our site. But in the last 5 or 6 weeks, we've had a really good time with it. We got a really cool cover with Khalil Mack. We convinced him to wear one of our t-shirts. And, you know, I wonder, Brad, is that why he's on the cover?
I'm looking at the cover, and we'll put the cover up over this, but it's pretty. We would like one of those MMQBs. I'd wear one of those when we talk.
All right. Well, I
got these all rolling.
Well, actually, these are new ones this year. Yeah. But, you know, can I tell you a quick little story you'll get a great kick out of?
Sure.
So it's Sunday night, and all of our cover possibilities have sort of dissolved. And I go to Mark Dalton in the press box. Mark Dalton, the vice president of media relations for the Arizona Cardinals. And I said to him, and I had warned him in the meantime, that maybe if something happens, you know, the Cardinals might be on the cover, depending on what happened in the game. Mm-hmm. And so Larry Fitzgerald catches his 99th touchdown pass, ties Don Hutson, with that record. And so I go to Mark and I say, geez, would Larry do a shot with us after the game? And we start talking. And so then he catches his 100th. And I'm thinking to myself, man, we got a cover. You know, the old master, he's still got it. You know, Larry Fitzgerald, 100 touchdowns. It's going to be great. And then, you know, all that has to happen. For Larry Fitzgerald to be on the cover this week instead of Khalil Mack is for Catanzaro to make this field goal. And I'm pretty confident he's going to make it. Until this snapper I never heard of, ground balls a snap, and Catanzaro misses it. And all of a sudden I say, well, Larry Fitzgerald's not going to be on our cover this week. And there you go. That is how the sausage is made, Brad Sesmat.
That is awesome. That is a great story. That is great. All right. I said last week, you agreed, bad loss if they lose to all these guys that aren't named Brady and Gronkowski and Solder and Ninkovich. I mean, how do you sum up Sunday night if you're an Arizona Cardinal fan?
Well, I think one of the things that I'm going to include two guys here, Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. I think one of the things that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels have always done, and Belichick gets all the credit, and he deserves 91% of it, but because every game plan with Bill Belichick is different. I like to say every game plan with him is a snowflake. But in this particular case, You got to give Josh McDaniels a tremendous amount of credit for getting this quarterback ready to play like he was a four-year veteran. And that is what I saw in Jimmy Garoppolo. And the other thing about McDaniels in this game, six men were starting their first game as New England Patriots on offense. They were asking them in some ways to do different things. Like Martellus Bennett is probably more of a receiver than a blocker at tight end, but his job in this game was going to be a steamroller. He was going to be blocking in this game. And so you add all of those things together and you just say, hey, look, we're witnessing, you know, we're witnessing something that I honestly thought this. I think that is one of the great statement games of Bill Belichick's coaching career. And I know people are going to say, oh, what are you talking about? It's a regular season game, everything. But just think of everything. The Arizona Cardinals have everybody back from the number one offense in football. They've added Chandler Jones to an already formidable defense. Not necessarily the best defense in the league, but a good defense. And the Patriots are playing no Brady, no Gronk, and they figure a way to win. I'll be honest with you. I'll give a little bit more credit to the Patriots than I'll say that the Cardinals really blew this.
No, I think we both see that the same way. While it's disappointing out here, I think it's a bad loss. You really have to give it up to the Patriots to come through. Advancing the story forward, though, Jameis Winston comes to Arizona, was not good early against Atlanta, was really good for like the last 3.5 quarters. This is not a pushover. It's Dirk Koetter coming back to Arizona. He was pushed out by Arizona State. A little chip. Whenever I talk to Dirk, he still brings it up. It's kind of an interesting game on Sunday out here, Peter.
When I visited the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in training camp, I sat down in Dirk Koetter's office, and I looked at the coffee table, Brad, and he had a book on the coffee table. It's a Dr. Seuss book. And it says, the name of the book is Oh, the Places We'll Go. Is that the name of that book? I'm pretty sure it is. I may have it wrong. And I said, what in the world are you doing with a Dr. Seuss book? And he goes, this incorporates everything you need to know about being an NFL player. This right here is the perfect book because it talks about greatness and talks about travel, talks about accomplishments. And anyway, I just think he's a very, very interesting guy. Everybody in the Valley knows Dirk Koetter. And I've gotten to know him a little bit over the last 3 years. And I've always thought this is going to be a really fun guy one day to go have a beer with in Boise. Because he's just he's a Western guy. He is he's a normal human being in a game that tends to turn people abnormal. And I think Jameis Winston truly, truly likes him. Now, Jameis Winston really liked Lovie Smith, viewed him as a classic head coach, disciplined guy, yes sir, no sir, all that stuff. And he loved Lovie Smith. But I'm telling you that this is a great match between him and Jameis Winston. And I think that what will show up on Sunday, especially if the Bucs can get their tight end game going with Cameron Brait, who has played great at Harvard, from Harvard, and Austin Seferian Jenkins, who had a good day on Sunday. That is what Jameis Winston really needs: the ability for people to look at his tight ends or to look at his wide receivers and to ignore his tight ends.
Before I let you go, you're in Carolina with Peter King, the MMQB. You can check out at the MMQB on Twitter. Carolina, the Cam Newton story, I thought got lost in the shuffle a little bit on Sunday in the news cycle with everything coming out, the concussion, the hit. Was it not a hit? Was the NFL turning a blind eye? We've heard this before, Peter. We can go back last year, of course, this came up in a big sort of way. What do you make out of Cam Newton taking these hits in the league and concussions where it stands now with the hits?
You know, I think the most important thing in this particular case is that the tape of this game be shown to all the officiating crews, because I don't blame the officiating crew. I've been on the field for games, and I have also watched officiating crews study in 2013. I did a week in the life of a crew, and I've watched them study, and the game happens so incredibly fast. People say, get full-time officials. That's not going to help, especially in this particular case. But the one thing about this that needs to be done, the last hit that he took, you know, by Stewart, the Denver safety, yep, late in the game, the last hit he took when he's laying on the ground for 4 seconds, like his face right in the turf, you know, that is where, in my opinion, what's going to come out of this, if I were to guess, the NFL will say that a medical timeout should have been called before this play so that enough time, so that not just a quick little exam of him, so that they have all the time they need to examine this guy and to make sure that he's going to be okay and to make sure that he should still be playing. That is what I hope will come out of this. The emphasis to the people on site, call the medical timeout when it's needed.
Let's check off that. Appreciate your time and visit. We'll talk next week. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, Brad.
There's Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback, at the MMQB on Twitter. And again, the MMQB issue on Sports Illustrated's cover. Actually, it's the entire magazine this week. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Michael Fabiano on the other side. All your fantasy football questions. And then AJ Green of the Bengals with the Steelers straight ahead. And now Michael Fabiano, senior fantasy analyst, NFL.com, NFL Network, the Hall of Famer. Okay, overreaction Tuesday from week one. I'm getting the, should I blow this guy up? Should I blow this guy out? I'm sure you're getting it 100 times over. What were your big takeaways, Michael, from week number one?
Well, number one, don't overreact to anything that happens in week one because things can change quickly. I definitely don't like what I saw from the Rams offense on Monday night and how it would affect Todd Gurley, but I definitely love Gurley. I'm not jumping off that bandwagon. It's way too soon. Same thing with a guy like Brandon Marshall. Odell Beckham Jr. only had 7 fantasy points in the game against the Cowboys. So those are, number one, one of the things that fantasy owners need to be aware of. Don't overreact. Don't be a quick seller. Don't trade Adrian Peterson for peanuts because he had a bad week one. This is sort of what the NFL is. Even the greatest players are going to have bad weeks. It just happens, and the league can be very unpredictable. I also learned that the Browns' defense is terrible. If Carson Wentz can come out and do what he did against them, so they're going to be a prime candidate for the matchups every single week. And, oh, by the way, Joe Flacco and the Ravens are playing the Browns this coming week. You also learned that Jeremy Langford looks like the featured back in Chicago, and that's always a good thing to have a featured back in an era where featured backs are sort of going the way of the dodo bird. So that is a positive from a fantasy perspective. And we saw a lot of points scored in games like New Orleans and Oakland. We saw a lot of points scored San Diego, Kansas City. We scored a lot of points scored Packers, Jags. So that's always a good thing from a fantasy perspective.
Let's go through the mailbag. T.Y. or Moncrief from Michael. Bigger
this
year in PPR.
This is an interesting week because, so keep in mind, Denver's got a really, really good pass defense. But Kelvin Benjamin had a pretty solid stat line on Thursday night. I'd go Hilton, but they're not great plays based on the level of the opponent. So don't expect T.Y. to put up top 10 numbers or Moncrief to put up top 10 numbers this week because the matchup dictates that this is going to be a tough game for Indianapolis's pass catchers.
With Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network and NFL.com, senior fantasy analyst, the Hall of Famer. Christy, is Tyrod Taylor worth keeping?
Yeah, it's one game, you know, and it was an ugly game in a matchup that looks favorable on paper. But again, 1 week, this is not the time to bail on somebody. Now, with that being said, if Matthew Stafford's available on the waiver wire and you need to drop Tyrod to pick him up, then I would absolutely do it. But if you're dropping Tyrod to pick up Carson Wentz or Josh McCown, I'm not going there.
Shayla, is Kobe Fleener worth keeping?
Yes. Again, 1 week, and it was a poor week. I give him probably about 3 or 4 weeks of rope. And at that point, if we don't see some production, then it's time to bail. On a positive note, he's got a really good matchup coming up against the Giants. The Giants typically over the last year plus have been a good matchup for opposing tight ends. Jason Witten had a very good game in week one, so I'm not quitting on Flynn just yet.
Anthony, what should I do with Spencer Ware now that Charles is close to coming back? The question for Michael Fabiano.
I don't know when Charles is coming back, but you play him until Charles does. You know, we had a production meeting and there was talk about, you know, do you sell high on Spencer Ware? I mean, anybody who knows what's going on in the league is going to know that this is a guy who maybe will give you another week or two before Jamaal Charles comes back. And even if you get into a situation in Kansas City where this is a committee, it's still going to be a committee that's led by Charles. So Ware isn't going to come in and take that job. So if you can sell him, I'd do it. But again, if you're in a league where people know what's going on, you're probably not going to get too much for him in the interim. I know he's got a bad matchup this week against the Texans, but he's no worse than a flex starter.
DMM, Golden Tate, question mark. Should he be in my flex over Edelman and Landry?
No, not this week. Sir, Edelman has really done well against Miami over the last couple of years, and Landry has done really well against the Patriots, especially in PPR leagues. He's averaged 10 targets a game in his last three. So, no, Golden Tate should be back on your bench. Had a good week last week from a reception standpoint. I believe he caught six balls, but he didn't really do anything with those catches. His yardage was very minimal. But typically, Edelman and Landry will be playing ahead of Golden Tate most weeks.
David wants to know about Keenan Allen now that he's gone. Who fills his shoes? Who gets the balls in San Diego?
I don't know if there's one player. I really don't. I mean, remember, they lost Stevie Johnson weeks ago. So now you're looking at Tyrell Williams. You're looking at Travis Benjamin. Of course, if he's available on the waiver wire, you're going to pick him up. You're looking at Dontrell Inman. To be honest, Danny Woodhead might see more targets. Antonio Gates might see more targets. There's some other guys that could pick up the slack, but it's not going to be a situation where, oh, well, Keenan Allen's out. His 12 targets a game are now going to go to this player or to this player. And there's not a lot of experience behind Travis Benjamin on that depth chart. So if there's one player to pick up, if he's available, it's Benjamin. I'd be surprised if he was available. Other than that, you're throwing darts. And my best bet would probably be Williams, but again, it's a situation where from week to week you're gonna see a lot of inconsistent numbers in terms of the targets.
Because I like you so much, okay, I'm gonna throw this question at you just to make your head explode. I've had over 20 of them this morning about how soon do you consider trading Dez? You being a Cowboy guy, go ahead, Michael. Have at it.
I mean, what are you gonna get for him right now? That's the thing. I mean, he's a talented player, and I loved Dez and the matchup this week, and I liked Dak Prescott. Now, keep in mind, Cole Beasley dropped the touchdown right in front of the end zone. I mean, you got to catch that. And Dez dropped the touchdown. He came down, the ball came out. So I wouldn't panic on Dez. And to be quite honest with you, after what we saw last night, they're playing the Redskins coming up in a week, too. Is Josh Norman guaranteed to play against Dez Bryant? I don't know. It was weird to see the Redskins pay so much money for a cornerback who's supposed to be an elite shutdown corner, and he didn't really cover or shadow Antonio Brown. So basically, you know, what the Redskins were doing was, hey, Steelers, we know Antonio Brown's going to beat us. We're going to shut down Sammy Coates. Okay, maybe seems a little odd to me or a little odd to the casual fan, but I don't give up on Dez. I don't trade Dez because right now you're not going to get much for him. This is a guy who cost you a second or third round pick. So unless you have somebody in your league who's a Cowboys fan who you believe will trade you value for value, I think you roll with Dez and hope for the best. And I think things will get better.
Talking fantasy football with Michael Fabiano, NFL.com, the NFL Network senior fantasy analyst. Before I let you go, Jameis Winston comes to Phoenix this week. Tampa Bay puts up some huge numbers. Do you like the Buccaneers or Cardinal players in this matchup? Who do you like in particular?
Well, last week I had Jameis as a sleeper, and he even exceeded my expectations with four touchdowns. But I don't know that I play on this week. Arizona's defense, I know they lost, but you know that defense overall, pretty good. Jimmy Garoppolo did not have a huge fantasy game. And when you look at the Cardinals, you know they've surrendered one or fewer touchdown passes to quarterbacks in five of the last six home games. So the matchup on paper is clearly not favorable for Jameis. You're starting Mike Evans, even though it's a bad matchup. You're probably starting Doug Martin, even though it's a bad matchup. Now, on the other side, you've got to like Carson Palmer. I was a little concerned about Palmer. Had 18 points last week. I projected him for right around 15 or 16. And the Buccaneers last week gave up, 334 yards and two touchdowns to Matt Ryan on the road.
Yep.
So Palmer's a really good play. Larry Fitzgerald, who the fantasy community seems to overlook, including myself, in each of the last year plus, and he goes out and scores two touchdowns last week. Tampa Bay's pass defense didn't look great last week against Julio Jones or Mohamed Sanu. So Fitz is an option. Now, I don't know what happened with John Brown last week. You're in the area. You're in the know. You may know a little bit more than I do. But the fact that he was so outside of what they were doing on the offensive side of the football, yep, unless Belichick completely decided to take him away, that's a little bit concerning. But still, Floyd's a three, Brown's a three flex, and of course David Johnson is a must-start every single week. That dude is just, he is a beast.
Do you have any games you look at as I let you go here, a couple games you look at and say, these are games you should be looking at starting your players? I know you mentioned Cleveland's defense earlier.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at potential sleepers, Joe Flacco's there. Terrence West, I don't know if I would trust him so much, but you want to look at games that look to be high scoring, right? So last week I loved Indianapolis, Detroit. I loved New Orleans, Oakland. It doesn't always pan out,
right?
But there's going to be games out there where there could be some points scored. Jacksonville, San Diego, there could be some points scored in that game. I think this week, you're also looking at New Orleans Giants. That could be a game where there's some points put on the board. I think you also have to look at a game in Carolina this week, not necessarily from the 49ers standpoint, although Carlos Hyde was very impressive on Monday night, but Carolina against that defense, I think that defense looked a lot better than it actually is because the Rams were so inept. So I think Cam Newton could have a huge game, and I think that could be a huge game for Jonathan Stewart as well. So those are some examples. Even Detroit, I think Detroit scores a lot of points this week. Tennessee, maybe not so much. I think Mariota's a sleeper. But you always want to look, and projecting games and outcomes in the NFL is difficult. We all know that. But you always kind of want to look at, this game looks like it could be high scoring.
Sure.
You know, I think San Diego and Jacksonville could be a shootout. You always want to look at that aspect of things. Even Indianapolis and Denver, I don't know if I see that game as being a shootout, but because of Denver's defense. But Indianapolis is so bad, that game could go off the rails. Who knows? So we'll see what happens. Indianapolis' defense, let's be clear on that. Their offense is clearly spectacular. But those are some of the games that I'm looking at and thinking, there could be some points scored in this contest.
Let you go off that. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
All right, pal. Take care.
There's Michael Fabiano right from the NFL Network, senior fantasy analyst, NFL.com. NFL Network, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Pleased now to be joined by Pro Bowl wide receiver A.J. Green of the Cincinnati Bengals. Our friends, our partners at Rock and Refuel partner with A.J., and a pleasure to have him with us as the Bengals an off day today before their showdown later this week with the Steelers. Appreciate you jumping on board. When you talk about and Refuel, And this commercial that you put together for them, first and foremost, what does it do for you, AJ, on the field?
It takes me to a new level. Like I said, they came to Atlanta this offseason, and we shot this crazy video, how I get prepared for this upcoming season. And the drink itself, it tastes great. It's high in protein, low in sugar. And the biggest thing for me, it doesn't give you that full feeling, so you can actually drink it while you're eating. And that's the best thing about it.
So after you tore up the Jets on Sunday, you slug a couple of those down, and you're ready to go for the following week, right?
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready. I keep a couple in my locker at all times. So
before we get into some, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Cardinals and Fitz and Patrick Peterson, but let's look ahead to the Steelers because that is the national buzz. You guys get together. There is, when I say no love lost, that's an understatement, isn't it?
Right.
Where does that come from?
I think it's just down the line. We've just been heated rivals for a long time, and we're both great teams. And you know, that's what you're going to get when you play two good teams like that. So You know, like one thing about us, we just gotta keep our composure. We gotta keep our poise. We can't go in like we did last year and let our emotion get the best of us and put our team in a situation that we did last year. So once we do that, we'll be fine.
How do you go about prepping this week? Is it any different than any normal week for you, AJ?
I don't think it's no different. I think if we make it different, then we're getting out of our element. We take every game same approach each week, and it's no different.
AJ Green with Rock and Refuel, the Pro Bowl wide receiver from the Cincinnati Bengals with us, Brad Sesmatz, Football AZ. I want to get your thoughts here on Larry Fitzgerald. There's been some talk, speculation nationally that this might be it for him. We don't know one way or the other, but he catches number 99 in 100 touchdowns in his career the other night. AJ, when you see Fitz on the field, what do you see? What do you try to take from Larry Fitzgerald?
He's the ultimate. He's what the NFL stands for. The guy is humble. He's a great player on and off the field. And just, you know, the way he carries himself off the field, got to be the most impressive. He's a class act. Nobody's done it like him, on and off the field. And then his numbers, he's been putting up for a long time. So I definitely think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, on and off the field.
Do you know him well, AJ? Have you gotten a visit?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, I talk to him, once, twice a month, just to see how he's doing. And, we talked about coming into a lockout. I just take little things about him, how he handles his stuff off the field and the way he goes about his business on the field. So it's unbelievable to have a guy like that in your corner.
Flip it around on the defensive side. Patrick Peterson is somebody that gets a lot of national attention. I know the Bengals played the Cardinals last season. And when you see Patrick Peterson lined up against you, what goes through your mind?
Me and Pat P, we've been together since, the college game days. I'm going against him. We all knew how good he is. And we've been had a lot of battles between the hedges and then at LSU. And then coming right now where he is today, I didn't expect anything less. He's an all-pro corner, probably one of the best corners in this league, man. And so he's definitely on his way to a Hall of Fame. The season he had last year was unbelievable.
Yeah, well, you're having an unbelievable season this year, courtesy of Rock and Refuel helping you out on the field, right?
Right.
There you go. Hey, AJ, appreciate the visit and the time. Best of luck this week against the Steelers. Thanks.
All right, thank y'all.